So today, I'll just start off with the title of the sermonette. I've titled this, Develop Godly Character, Produce Godly Behavior. Josie and I, when this whole parenting thing was sprung on us, thought we should bone up on some of the how. So we were introduced to a program called the 9 Practices of a Proactive Parent. It's a production by Dr. Stephen Schreibner, something like that. So we've actually gone through the program, and early in the program there was a pretty interesting graphic that he showed. It was actually kind of unrelated to what I took away from it. It was bonus takeaway for me, but I've kind of massaged it and kind of worked it into this message. I called the graphic, and I'll try to help you reproduce it. I call it the character development ladder. So if you want, if you're doing hand notes, if you're on a laptop or something, that's probably not practical, but if you're doing hand notes, you can draw a ladder with 6 rungs. The top rung would be behavior, the next rung would be character, the next rung as you're going down is practice, then it's ownership, then it's discovery, and then it's knowledge. So I'm going to go through each one of these and kind of explain how it fits in this model. Starting at the bottom, knowledge, and this is in the context of course, I'm using it in discovering and developing our godly character. Knowledge is learning of the truth. As an example of this, I had a friend in high school named Mr. Ryan Jensen. He had known my family and kind of knew we were a little different, but you know, we didn't know him that well at the time. He just kind of knew we did some different things church-wise. Ryan moved to, I believe, North Carolina, and one day he was in a shopping center and saw a Good News magazine on a shelf, and it had some cool graphic on it. He thought it was pretty cool, so he snagged it. And as he read it, he connected dots. Well, that's what the Brunics did. But it just started to make sense. And so it was like a very early spark of interest. That would be this knowledge rung of the ladder. So then we progress to the second one, which is discovery. Discovery is your reaction to the truth. You invest in acquiring deeper understanding of the truth. And this is a stage where you become convicted that this is the truth, as in all caps, the truth. Now, a side note or a word of caution, these two, the bottom two rungs, being knowledge and discovery, they're kind of the shiny ones. And sometimes it's tempting. It seems like we've all probably known a few people that they just love discovering new things and believing new things, and they just kind of get stuck in a loop between those two, and they never really turn it into more. But the next step that, you know, it's easy to fall short of moving to this next step is ownership. There's humility involved in this step. This is where repentance and rooting out of bad habits happens. We now have accepted that this new knowledge is truth, so we begin to integrate it into our lives. We recognize that our need for and begin the process of prioritizing or reprioritizing our lives. My mom always had a saying you got to make sure you're keeping the main thing the main thing. So that brings us to the next step, practice. Of course, knowing what we should do without doing what we know we should do makes that knowledge worthless. I had an orchestra teacher. You don't have to laugh, but you can laugh. His name was Mr. Scales. He's kind of a memorable figure in my family, just because we all, you know, were in an orchestra that he was directing. But he had a saying, and it makes sense when you've got a whole gaggle of brand new violin players screeching away on their little instruments. Practice doesn't make perfect. He said, perfect practice makes perfect. So there's a difference. It's not just about doing, you got to do it right to enforce the habit. So the process of taking ownership, you know, the previous step was ownership. The process of taking ownership of what we believe becomes a voluntary and daily struggle. Voluntary is in we have to choose to fight the battle. And we have to do it daily or hourly or minutely. It's a major undertaking. We now have to choose over and over again to keep our priorities in line and our beliefs relevant in our lives. The next rung is character. Over time, as we strive to practice perfectly, the act of making the main thing, we develop a conscience. Our convictions are reinforced daily through seeing the fruits of our efforts manifest as consistent godly behavior. Those convictions get deeper, and then this truth begins to shine through us before God and our fellow man. That brings us to the top rung, behavior. Now, if you caught it a minute ago, I mentioned that the fruits of our efforts manifest as consistent godly behavior. That means our actions. We are now producing outward visible evidence of what we believe or what we don't believe. Likewise, this is a step towards a step where we demonstrate for the whole world to see that we are flawed humans, that our characters are still stained with selfishness and sin, and that we must now constantly seek out those flaws and then begin this whole process over again down at the first rung. If you can turn in your Bibles to James 1 and verse 22. This is the only major scripture in the sermon. James 1 and verse 22 through verse 25. Starting in verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. For he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So, I've now laid out the basics of this visual, this ladder with the six rungs in order. We've kind of talked about each one of the rungs. And there's just two more points that I'll add here to kind of shape up this analogy. The first is, why the name? I called it the character development ladder, not the behavior development ladder, even though behavior is on the top rung. And here's why. Maybe it's confession time, but when I was going to the school, initially returning to school for my bachelor's of mechanical engineering, the program at the University of Arkansas, where I was attending at the time, had, so there's laws on how many credits can be required for a degree. I think it's 126 is the maximum, which when it comes to an engineering degree, they just say, well, we'll just throw a bunch of zero credit courses in there because, well, you need to know this stuff. Well, there was a course for CAD, AutoCAD. It's not that brand. It's actually called SolidWorks is the manufacturer, but that a lot of the schools use now. And this was something that they wanted as a prereq for all these other courses. You get no credit for it. And it's pass fail, and it stalls out your school if you don't pass it. So I was taking this course. At the end, there is a SolidWorks certification. It's an exam. If you get a certain score, you pass it, you get certified, and you can move on with your coursework. Well, as you can imagine, you're drawing parts. That's what this exam is all about. And I got, it's a 3-hour exam, I think. I got a little ways into it and said, this is stupid. So I can do geometry. I can calculate volumes of different shapes. So I did that. The way they did the scoring was you would just draw your part and then the program outputs the mass of what you're doing, and then you'd convert that to the weight. The volume, you'd convert that to weight. And then that was your answer, because you had to plug it in, you know, a number answer. And then if you were right, you passed. Well, I passed. But I got to those answers, but not the way they intended. So point being, you can fake godly behavior, just like I faked the answers to several of my SolidWorks certifications exam. Now, rest assured, it didn't matter, because when I transferred down here, it didn't even count to finish my schooling. But anyway, if you'll indulge me, I'll analyze my analogy with another analogy. If you want apples, you don't just grow apples. You plant a tree. You feed it when it's young, water it when it's hot, cover it when it freezes, and in time it produces apples for you to eat. So it's not a direct process. I called it the character development ladder because it illustrates the process of developing godly character produces godly behavior. And the key to godly behavior is a focus on godly character. The second little point here is, why a ladder? Why would we do this image in the shape of a ladder? Well, just as a ladder is only as stable as the ground it is on, in John 17 and verse 17, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus said, God's word, the Bible, is truth. We know that the word of God is the only solid foundation. Likewise, each rung is only safe to climb on if the ladder below it is not compromised. Throughout the character development process, we will recognize flaws. The only way to correct these flaws is to go all the way back down to the bottom of the ladder and start the process. So to conclude, this graphic came from a parenting presentation, but we're all God's children. And the importance of developing godly character is as relevant to you and I as it is to Opie, Liam, and Lincoln, and any other children that we know or have in our lives. I gave a sermon out a few months ago explaining that we can do the right thing for the wrong reasons. And I hope this message has given a tiny insight into the process that might help us make sure that we are doing the right thing for the right reasons.